start it, and as it comes on, it comes on. The Sabbath is a rehearsal for the millennial reign. The Sabbath is a rehearsal for the millennial reign. It's where we come to get refreshed every week. It's also one of the, it's the feast. It's a feast listed in Leviticus. Keep trying. I'm not even really starting. I'm warming up.
It's Facebook. It's just not loading.
Tommy's going to come help you. It's a rehearsal for the millennial reign. The millennial reign is the 7,000th year that we're going to walk in. Don't get distracted with the camera. Just, you guys come on up here. They'll work it out. They got it. I mean, there's nothing you can do from your seats. They got it. Just, you know. So when we come into a Shabbat service, it should be a place where we get encouragement from one another. The world's a crazy place right now. The world's been a crazy place for a long time. It's just crazier than it's been probably in my lifetime, I know. But when we come into the Shabbat service, this is where we come into with people with like-minded hearts and spirits. It's where we should come to get refreshed every week. It's where we should come to get encouraged every week. And we should be encouraging one another. We get enough of the other stuff out here. We really do. We get enough. So when we come in here, this should be a place of encouragement and time of refreshing and just saying good things to each other and lifting each other up and encouraging one another. We're soldiers together in God's kingdom. And so we need to come in here just blessing one another and encouraging one another and letting each other know we're not in this thing by ourselves. We're not in this thing by ourselves. We got people that believe like we do. We got people to get into the Word like we do. We got people that pray like we do. We got people that are trying to walk this thing out. We're not doing it perfect, and we stumble, and we make mistakes, and we trip up every now and then. But when we come in here, this is a rehearsal one day for when we'll go into the millennial reign and be in the presence of Yeshua. And talking about the presence of God, I mean, that was nice. I mean, I was thrilled with the worship service. I really was. The real presence of God, I mean, trust me, it'll be a little bit more intense. And guess what? Guess what, Clinton? There's not going to be any sickness in that day.
Amen.
There's not going to be any sickness that you're going to bring in to that time. There's not going to be any of that. That's going to be taken away. There's going to be healing. And you know what? I believe there's healing today. So, Father, I pray over Clinton, Father. I'm not giving up on this thing. And I pray a blessing and a healing over Father Clinton. What a faithful man he is, Lord. Man, what an inspiration for all of us. I pray a blessing over Clinton, Father. I ask that you're mindful of him. Father, in Yeshua's name, I ask that you touch his physical body and make it whole, Father. By whatever means, Father, that needs to happen. You know, Father, and I believe, Father, I'm praying for that healing in his body, Father. I ask for it, Father. You said, you have not because you ask not. I'm asking. You said, Father, you're a good father. You give good gifts to your children, Father. If we ask for a bread, Father, you're not going to give us a stone. So we're asking for your good healing, Father, in his body, through his body. I pray a healing over each person in this fellowship. Father, emotional healing, Father. We're in your Shabbat, Father. We're rehearsing for that time when all this stuff is removed, Father. So in Yeshua's name and through the blood of Messiah, I pray a blessing over everyone. Emotional healing, mental healing, Father. Physical healing, Father. Help us be refreshed today in Yeshua's name. We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. Each and every day, we're in a war. We might as well just get that in our hearts. Every day we get up, we're in a war. This thing is not going away. It's probably not going to get much better. But that doesn't mean that we have to cave into it. That doesn't mean we can't be light in a dark place. That doesn't mean we can't represent the one who we serve. Paul in Ephesians 6, Verses 11 through 13 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. Jim, are you saying you believe in a devil? Yes. I believe there are wicked, demonic spirits at loose, at large. For Paul says, we struggle not against this flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, even in the demonic forces, against powers of this world's darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, since these things are true, therefore, since I'm telling you about them, therefore, wherefore? Well, back what I just told you. Take up your full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. Are we having problems standing our ground these days? And having done everything, stand. All the days for us were written in His book before one came to be. He's got it. Paul instructs us to put on our full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. In the Greek, the word devil is diabolos. Diabolos. I'm so glad we don't have Greek scholars. It's already bad enough with the Hebrew ones here. Meaning slanderous. Oh, he's a false accuser. Oh, unjustly criticizing to hurt others. Unjustifiable criticism. To hurt and malign others. Oh, to condemn and sever relationships. He's not here to bring them back together. To destroy. He's the one who tempts, he destroys, and he's a liar. Yeshua charges the Pharisees with belonging to their father, the devil. Back in John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. What do you mean? Come on. He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth. Refusing to uphold the truth. Well, what is the truth? Well, it's the Word of God. It's every word that came out of God's mouth. That's what the truth is. Because there is no truth in Him. And our adversary, there's no truth in Him at all. Everything is a deception. When He lies, He speaks of His native tongue. It's easy for Him. It's who He is. He's the complete opposite of our Father. Our Father is truthful. He's a liar. Because He is a liar. And He's the father of all lies. You ever told a lie? Little twisting of the truth? You were operating under different. Different person. So the adversary is a murderer. He cannot uphold the truth, and he's a liar. If he whispers his suggestions to us, you're not good enough, you'll never amount to anything. Well, that's a lie. Well, that's not the truth. That's not what the Word says about me. That's not right. Why am I entertaining that? Its intent is to destroy me. To take me off track, to get me off center, to get me over here, to get me distracted. So I'm spending all my time over here instead of in the truth. It twists. He twists everything. Everything's twisted. It's wrong. It's twisted. It's upside down. He misleads. He misleads us. In the garden, he's described as a serpent. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the other creation. And he said to the woman, and this is where the men are supposed to shamar. Did God really say that? Did He really keep a Shabbat? Did He really mean to whatever in the Word? He puts doubt. He's misleading. He's getting us distracted. He's getting us confused. He's questioning our integrity. He's questioning who we are. The root word of serpent is nakash. That means to practice divination. We saw that with Balaam, right? To whisper a spell. To whisper a spell. An enchanter interprets omens. Divination is defined in Britannica. Duck, duck, go. I don't use Google anymore, by the way. I use Duck, Duck, Go. So if you guys want to have a little bit more privacy, use Duck, Duck, Go. Sorry if I got a little carnal there. Defined in Britannica, divination, the practice of determining that hidden significant, the practice of determining the hidden significance of a cause of events. Sometimes foretelling the future by various natural, psychological, or other techniques in the form of horoscopes, astrology, crystal gazing, tarot cards, and Ouija boards. Everything God's people are told to stay away from. And I'm sure none of us are doing that. I can't imagine that would even happen in this house or anyone even listening. And I know this could be a little, I put the word creepy here, but a little troubling. But listen to God's instructions as Israel was preparing to cross over to Canaan. I mentioned that in the Torah portion. They were getting ready to cross over, and the Father was giving them instructions. He was encouraging them. He was telling them what to look out for. And I believe He gives us these patterns and these reminders over and over and over again so that we'll finally get it into our heart. And we should be able to pick up on this stuff at some point. We should be able to get some discernment in our spirits that right away we know that that's not right. We shouldn't be confused about right and wrong as we grow and mature in His Word and the relationship. It should be getting bright and clear within us. And He says to them, when you enter the land that I'm giving you, do not imitate the detestable ways of the nations that are before you. Same thing happens today. Let's not imitate the detestable ways that are happening before us today. I almost said initiate. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire. I mean, what is that? It's the same thing that's happening today. One who practices divination or conjury, interprets omens, practices sorcery. This is the Father telling them this. Cast out spells, consults with mediums or spiritualists, inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God is driving out the nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Though these nations, which you will dispose of, listen to conjurers and diviners, you are not permitted to do so. You are not permitted to do so. The Lord your God will raise you up a prophet like me. This was Moses talking. Among your brothers, and you must listen to him. We know that prophet was Yeshua. We've got a mentor. Do you need a mentor? We have one. Open up, read, and see how he handled things. The nations, those that were dwelling in Canaan, were listening to the wrong voices. They were listening to the wrong voices. They were listening to the serpent. The same voice that whispered to Eve in the garden. The same voice that whispers to you and me. The children of Israel were given specific instructions not to do this, not to listen to those voices, not to assimilate into their culture, not to become who they are. They were a separate, called out people. To know the difference. They were to know the difference. They were used to use discernment in trying the intent and truthfulness of the words, suggestions, and actions of those that they were coming in contact with. There should be a level of discernment. We should have that operating within us. Because He is more crafty than any other creation. Very cunning, shrewd, subtle, has keen insight to penetrate deeply and thoroughly. This is from Aram, the word crafty in Hebrew. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God to stand against the adversary's schemes. The word scheme in the Greek is methodia, a way of searching after something, an inquiry, scheming, craftiness, and deceit. Why am I spending so much time talking about the devil? Why am I spending so much time talking about the adversary? Because we're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a battle each and every day, every morning that we get up. We're in the battlefield. We may not be in a physical war yet. We may not be in hand-to-hand combat physically. We may not be getting pulled out of our houses. But we are certainly in a spiritual war each and every day. It sounds a little mystical. But Paul reminds us that we do not fight against flesh and blood. These aren't the things that we're fighting against. When you see all that happening around us, that's not who we're really fighting against. But against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So if we're in a fight, if we're in a battle, we need to know the tactics of our enemies. It just goes without saying. Any person, I use this analogy back in the Torah portion, anyone that's played sports, you play cards, you play, you're getting ready for a business deal. You always want to know what the other person's tactics are, what their tendencies are, how do they operate, what is their behavior, what is their personality, how have they responded to this before. You don't want to go in blind. You want to be prepared. You want to go in understanding the tactics of our enemy. We cannot sit idly by day and night, not realizing that we're in a spiritual battle for our souls. That's what it's coming down to. That's what it's all about. We're in a battle for our souls. And not only the battles of our souls, our family souls, our children's souls. Are we fighting for them? Are we interceding for them? Are they important enough that we take time away and pray for them? Have we gotten so lethargic that we don't even do that anymore? And we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. Our own personal souls, the souls of our loved ones and the souls of this nation. That's the battlefield. The enemy does not fight fair. Never has, never will. He's a false accuser. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. And he's a deceiver. He does not care who gets hurt. He does not care about the collateral damage. He does not care who gets wounded. He does not care who gets damaged. And he does not care who gets destroyed, whether it's you or me or whether it's inside his own kingdom. He does not care. Collateral damage means nothing to him. In fact, in John 8:10, he's described as a thief. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Yeshua says, I have come to give life. And that they would have it in their fullness. The enemy's always about death and killing and destroying. And Yeshua's always about life. It should be easy. Is something causing the death of someone, the innocent? It's not from God. It's that simple. To steal, the word in the Greek is klepto. To take secretively, by stealth operation. Military word, stealth operation. And I found this definition very interesting. To take by stealth operation means to maneuver secretively, cunning, not to show the true hand, to keep from being exposed or discovered. To be stealth-like means to be undetected. You don't want to be undetected. Maybe using technology to redirect the true mechanisms away from the original source. That's what they do with the stealth planes and ships. It refracts the actual signal. It's hiding the true motives and intentions. It's disguising oneself. There's a disguise. Saying one thing, meaning another. Adding just a bit of truth to a lie, enough to cause confusion and doubt. As I said before, there's enough truth in it to where you're off searching out something to defend yourself that's not even based on truth. You don't have to give an answer to everyone. We can walk away knowing who we are. During World War II, Joseph Goebbels, is that his name? Minister of Propaganda and one of Hitler's closest associates. He said this, I got three quotes. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. And you will even come to believe it yourself. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. And you will believe it, come to believe it yourself. Next one. A lie told once remains a lie. But a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. And here's my favorite, and I put this in bold, because it's just so relevant for today. Think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play. Think of the press of a great keyboard on which the government can play. If the strategy, if the tactic is working, why would you ever change it? Why would you ever change that behavior? Why would you ever change that tactic? It worked back then. It's working just fine now. Because what we have is repeating lies over and over and over and over and over. Not only do people start believing the lies, but the people telling them start believing that they're telling the truth. I mean, their minds are so delusional and warped that they actually think now that they're telling the truth. And we see this every day. Sun Tzu, a Chinese military leader from 500 BC, in his book, The Art of War, said this, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but you don't know your enemy, for every victory you gain, you also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will lose every battle." Knowing the tactics of our enemy, the continual rhetoric and flooding of twisted, manipulated information. We know that the enemy is a liar. He's a murderer. He's a manipulator. He's a slanderer. One who whispers falsehoods. He's crafty. He's stealth-like. Wants to destroy relationships and then subtle. And in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, here's the description of him. It's the wicked lamp. It's the opposite of the seven spirits of God. The Father is one way, represented in the menorah with the seven spirits of God. And this is the wicked lamp listed in Proverbs 6. Six things the Lord hates, but seven are detestable. Again, that same word. A proud look, being proud and prideful. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that run swiftly to evil. I'm on board. A false witness who gives a false testimony. And one who stirs up discord among the brethren. One who stirs up discord among the brethren. And knowing this, and realizing that we are in a spiritual battle, that we do not fight against flesh and blood, Should we not have an intentional daily strategy to combat our enemy? Knowing this and realizing that we're in a spiritual battle, that we do not fight against flesh and blood, should we have an intentional daily strategy to combat our enemy? Sun Tzu mentioned we should understand that we have an enemy first and foremost. That we have an enemy that's against us, that's an adversary, that there is a Satan that's against us. And then we should train ourselves to recognize and know his tactics. They shouldn't catch us by surprise anymore. We've been in this long enough. Honestly. If the subtle suggestions and rhetoric we hear does not line up with the written word of God, then we should discard it as falsehood and not be persuaded by it. If it's not lining up with it is written, why are we entertaining it? Why are we allowing it to circle in our minds? Why don't we take every thought captive and cast it out? If it's not, it is written. Why are we wasting our time and energy with it? We need to train ourselves to recognize the lies. So, question. How should we prepare ourselves to enter into the daily battle that we enter into every day? How should we do that? In business, we say this. In life, I think we've said this. It's a good quote. Better to be prepared and never have an opportunity than have an opportunity and not be prepared. It's not a bad thing to have a generator, even though it's sitting in your garage for 3 years. But it sure is nice when a tree falls on the power lines and your freezer keeps working. But when you haven't even prepared, I'm not saying, I'm just using this as an example. Don't go out prepping all of a sudden because I said generator. unless you want to. But it's better to be prepared and never have an opportunity than have an opportunity and not be prepared. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, to prepare. To make ready beforehand, like we do for Shabbat, some of us try to make our meals beforehand. Some, 20 minutes before sundown, you should see the stuff getting slung around the house. To make beforehand for some purpose, use or activity. To put in the proper state of mind. We're alert, we're prepared, we're ready, we realize we're in a war, we realize we have an enemy. We're actually anticipating what's going to happen. It's good in business, Tom, to anticipate what's going to happen. It's good to look down the road, Rich, and see what's going to happen. Hey, you go visit somebody, you say, hey, I'm looking over in this section. I can tell it's a little worn out over here. They're going to need something over here. It's good to anticipate. It's good to look down the road and think this is going to come up. I might as well go ahead and get prepared for it. To work out the details in advance. Don't wait till you get up upon it and then all of a sudden try to figure it out. It seems like a good idea to be prepared, to work out a plan in advance, to anticipate what's going to happen, to make ready, to be alert, to be alive, to be a warrior. When would be a good time to do this? I don't know, Jim. Why don't you tell us? Would it be good to do this after the battle? After the battle? And then we kind of do a post-mortem? Wow, I got my tail handed to me in that one. Let me do a lessons learned. You ever do a lessons learned? We do that at work. Let's do a lessons learned. Why did this flop? Oh, okay. If we're not going to do it after the battle, should we do it during the battle? We enter into the battle, we're in the middle of it, and now we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. It's too late. Now we're just reacting. Now we're just emotional. Now we're just responding to whatever happens. We don't have a plan. We didn't have a plan. Now we're emotional. We're just going by our nefesh, by our desires and everything that happens and what we can think in our mind. Or do we do it beforehand? Well, let's look at one of the most famous warriors of all time. He was a warrior when he was tending sheep. And was it a lion or a bear came up? And he fought the bear and the lion with his bare hands as a kid. He fought Goliath and called him an uncircumcised Philistine while the warriors and the army were hiding up on the hill with Saul, afraid. And through his whole life was a warrior. That's why Saul wanted to kill him. He was jealous of the attention and the accolades that he got for being a great warrior. Maybe we could learn something from him. Maybe not. Psalms 5:3. Jim, I knew you were going to go here. Stop going here every time. Or we're not going to ask you to talk anymore. We're not going to ask you to teach. In the morning. I just lost everyone. In the morning. You will hear my voice, Father. You will hear my voice when I get up in the morning. I will present myself, Father, to you. And I will look up. I will look up. And you know what that word look up means? It's Safah. 68:22. To be a watchman. And it means to peer into the distance. You're going to prepare yourself. You're going to look down the road. You're going to anticipate what's going to happen. You're not going to sit there in a stupor and not know what's going to happen in the day. You're getting up, you're preparing yourself, you're asking the Father to give you the wisdom and the counsel you need to walk this thing out. Psalms 143:8. Let me hear your loving kindness, Father, in the morning. For I trust in you. I don't trust in what's going on in this world. Teach me the way I should walk. Which path do I need to take, Father? What am I going to face today? What wisdom do I need? What counsel do I need? What am I going to face? What's the enemy going to throw at me? What personalities are I coming up against? What business decisions do I need to make? How do I need to respond to these things? Father, can you provide me wisdom to do that? Can you teach me how to walk this morning? For I lift up my soul to you. I lift up who I am, Father, to you. Father, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And guess what? I don't want to be like the Israelites that look and think I have to fight this in the physical because I'm not strong enough. I don't have all the weaponry. I don't have all the skills it takes in the physical, Father. I need some help here. I need you to fill me every morning, Father, with your Spirit so that I can walk this thing out, so that I can fight the day, Lord. Psalms 25:2. In you, my God, I trust. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Let not the adversary take the advantage, Father. Give me the advantage. Give me the counsel that I need, Father. In the morning, before I start the day, before I just walk out in the middle of the day and then all of a sudden I'm in the middle of a mess and now I'm asking for your help. He could give you that before you start. David approached the Father at the start of his day and asked to hear his voice. He asked for his loving kindness. That means his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. I need his mercies every morning. By the end of the day, I'm telling you, I need his mercies. I do good some days I don't. I handle things well one minute, the next time I don't. I need your mercies, Father, every morning. The blood that Messiah sprinkled on the mercy seat needs to be applied to my life in the morning, Father, so I can finish this race. Amen. We're not in this thing alone. We're not like the Israelites peering over and afraid of all the circumstances that are happening around us. We look at what's happening and we get nervous and we get full of anxiety. We don't even realize that we have the best warrior of all. We should be the ones that have them backtracking. To be instructed in the way we should walk. To be taught the way the way of the Lord, and to be exalted over our enemies. That's how David started his day. I'll take David. That's why I knew I was going to teach this when James read 51 today. What an awesome psalm. Hey, when you screw up, when you mess up, when you make a mistake, Psalms 51, baby. Father, I come. Let's reason together, Father. I messed up. I need your mercy, your grace every day. I need your mercy. I need your Holy Spirit to be implanted within me, to fill me up, Father, so I can walk this thing out. You know what, Father? I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to stay down here and wallow around and let everyone else kick me around in the Spirit, Father. I have you, and that's enough. When Joshua was ready to cross over into the Promised Land and all of Israel was going to go with them, they had enemies to face. We've been talking about this. They weren't just going to lead by themselves. Joshua got downloaded on. Ever had that? Someone comes to you and says, "Hey, Mark, this is your responsibility now." I didn't ask for that. Moses didn't ask for it. He tried to talk himself out of it. But the Father gives Joshua encouragement because he was going to fulfill this thing. He was going to walk it out. He was going to take that mantle from Moses. He had to finish this race. Joshua 1, 6 and 9. "Hey, be strong and courageous. For ye shall give this people that's gone with you possession of the land, Joshua. Because I swore, I made a promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob long before you were. And I don't forget my covenants. You might forget them. I don't forget them. Only be strong and courageous." Why? Because he's afraid. You don't get... Tommy, I'm not going to tell you to be strong and courageous if you're strong and courageous. "That you may observe to do all according to my Torah." You want to think the Torah's been done with? Good for you. "Which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Quit listening to all this. Quit listening to all that. That you may prosper." Who doesn't want to prosper? You'd have to be sick not to want to prosper. "This book of the Torah does not depart from your mouth, Joshua. But you meditate on it day and night." Night and day. Day and night. Right, Tom? Day and night. Night and day. Keep the candle lit. You start your morning, you end your day. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? What's got our attention? Honestly, what is on? What is on Netflix? I mean, honestly, what is it? Okay, no one will answer me. "So that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it." No one will be honest in church. "For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success." Who does not in this house want to be prosperous and successful? Okay. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous then. Do not be afraid or discouraged then. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Even to Walmart when we accidentally walked the wrong way from the arrow and the lady gets mad at us. He's with us. He's there. "I'm sorry, miss. I just wanted some noodles." Is it that serious? I think we'd all admit that there's times when we look at the state of the society. Oops, I almost fell again, Nathan. That we have to be careful not to get discouraged. Me too. Me too. But we have His promises that He will go wherever we go. Three times in the verse above that I just read, Joshua is instructed to be strong and courageous, to meditate of God on God's word day and night, and do not turn from it. It is written. It is written. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, and it just popped up, Avi Lipkin, was here last Sunday night. If you couldn't make it, go back and watch it. It's about 2 hours of your life. Sometimes a prophet comes into the house and he's not recognized as a prophet. I'm just saying, it's worth listening to. This man's been around the world and he had a good spirit. He was not arrogant and obnoxious. He loved us. He was glad to be here. He was trying to help us. Listen to what the man had to say. To meditate on God's word day and night and not to turn away from it. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor in the seat of mockers. Mockery is going to be one of the biggest tools that our adversary is going to use against us. It's going to be mockery, intimidation, to make us feel stupid, to make us feel embarrassed that we believe the way we do, and then start labeling us. If you don't believe this, you're that. If you say this, you're that. If you do this, you're that. It's not true. So who are we getting our counsel from? Because it said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of wickedness. So where are we getting our counsel from? Who are we listening to? Wicked here means to be ungodly or morally wrong. Remember, we are to recognize our enemy and his tactics to distract and confuse us. But in verse 2 it says, but his delight, the man who's blessed, his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and the Torah he meditates day and night, night and day. It's the same today as it was back then. In order to dwell, you have to dwell. In order to meditate, you have to meditate. In order to do it day and night, you have to carve out time day and night. It's intentional. I said, oh, do we want an intentional plan each and every day? Are we just going to stumble into our day and then hope it goes well? Maybe whisper a few scriptures under our breath. I love the story in 2 Kings when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Arameans. I'm almost finished. And was because he was strategically counseling the king of Israel. He was telling him what the Armenians were going to do, and the king of Armenia got a hold of it and surrounded Elisha. He was not happy with him. And it says in 2 Kings 6, 15 and 17, when the servant of the man got up and went out early in the morning, and an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city, he asked Elisha, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. Look at the circumstances. Look at what's going on around us. How are we going to respond to this? Oh my God! What are we going to do? The enemy always makes Israel feel like they're outnumbered. Happens all the time. And what's Elisha have to say? He has the nerve to say, don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid? There's two of us. And he said, for those that are with us are more than that are with them. The same instruction Joshua received, be strong and of great courage. Then Elisha said, he prayed, O Lord, please open the eyes of my little servant. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. All around them. Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are tens of thousands. Thousands of thousands are they. The Lord is in His sanctuary, ruling and reigning, just like He was on Mount Sinai. That should be good news. Okay, I didn't know. I thought we went Baptist. All right. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Lord came with fire. His chariots are like a whirlwind to execute anger and fury and rebuke with flames of fire. I believe we're operating in two theaters. One is a spiritual one and one is a physical one. And we've seen what happened when the eyes were open and he saw in the spirit everything that was surrounding them and protecting them. We can't see in that sphere right now. But as believers in Jehovah and God and through His Son Yeshua, we should be able to discern the fruit that is being produced in the physical. Although we can't see in the spiritual, we should be able to tell what fruit is being produced in the physical. Matthew 12:33, make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Trees in scriptures are usually men. We should know by now what kind of fruit's being produced. It should be pretty obvious to us as we mature and grow in this thing. And again, Paul warns us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the authorities, against powers of this world's darkness, against spiritual forces in heavenly realms. Take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes upon you, you'll have the capability to stand. Folks, we're in the day of evil. This is the time to take a stand. This is the time to get rooted and grounded. This is the time to get a plan together. This is the time to prepare and anticipate for what we're going to do. We just don't lay around and wonder what's going to happen. We're not going to have all the answers, but we still get up and ask. Our enemy is using ignorant men and women as puppets to carry out his plans in chaos and order. Disorder. Our enemy is using ignorant men and women as puppets to carry out his plans for chaos and disorder. They are the loud ones. I know I'm loud right now, but I'm not, you know. They are the loud ones. They are the violent ones. But the real enemy remains stealth-like, not wanting to be revealed. What you see out there is just the puppets being used, the real enemies, hidden away, stealth-like, not wanting to be exposed for who he really is. And that's where you get all the lies and everything that comes out, and people start believing him. He lies. He manipulates the truth. He's a murderer. He's going to mock us. He's going to falsely accuse us for walking this thing out. He's prideful. He's the one shedding innocent blood. And here's a news flash. Hitting someone over the head with a skateboard in the name of social justice is not a behavior that is inspired in the throne room of the Almighty. I'm going to repeat that. Everyone out there can hear this. And if you think that this is not right, you're wrong. Hitting someone over the head with a skateboard in the name of social justice is not a behavior that it is inspired in the throne room of God Almighty. You are listening to the wrong voices. As Sun Tzu mentioned, we should understand we have an enemy and train ourselves to recognize and know his tactics. Paul encouraged us to take on the full armor of God, that in the evil days we'd be able to stand our ground. Therefore, take up the full armor, that you'll be able to resist in the evil days. And having done everything you know to do, stand there. Stand firm. Girding your loins with truth. Your loins, your hips, it's where your kidneys are. The kidneys represent your inner man. Look, go back into some of the original language. When they say kidneys, that's your inner man. It's who we are. Well, let's gird those with truth. Let's put truth in our inner man. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, let's do what God's asking us to do through the blood of Messiah. Preparing our feet with the preparation of the gospel. Hey, let's get up in the morning. Let's get in the Word. We're going to walk this thing out. Let's prepare the pathway that we're going to go. In addition to taking up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows, I believe, are all this words and rhetoric and propaganda and all the things that come out and try to get us distracted. Let's put up the shield of faith and say, no, if it's not, it is written, I'm not going to pay attention to that. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. A sword's an offensive weapon. It's not one that you're usually defending. It's offensive. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So I'll close it out with this. So how should we prepare ourselves to enter into the battle that we'll face each and every day. Father, I give you praise and glory in this house, Father. I ask that you open our eyes like you did Elisha's servants, that we can see, Father, the power and the grace that, Father, operates in our life, Father, that we don't, Father, walk in a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, Father. Father, we'll stand. And even when it gets uncomfortable, Father, give us the grace. We need your grace, Father. We don't have the power to do it on our own. I'd be arrogant and prideful if I suggested I did. Father, there's days, Father, when I look at the wrong things. Have mercy upon me, Father. Have mercy upon this house, Father. Teach us how to walk this thing out. Teach us the path we should go, Father. Inspire us, Father, to get in your word, Father. Shake us, Father, that we will get up in the morning, Father, and get our plan for the day. We'll start our day praising and worshiping you, Father, before we turn on Fox and Friends. Father, we'll give you praise and glory. We'll come to you, Father, and ask for your mercy and grace and kindness, and Father, to prepare us, Father, for this day. Help us, Father, to be soldiers in your army, Father. Be light in darkness. And we will look up like David did, Father, and look down the road, Father, anticipating what will come, Father. But we ask for your grace and mercy to lead us and guide us. In Yeshua's name, and everyone in this house said, Amen. Amen. Amen.